This is MSO News Sports. Once again, take two. I'm Rick Moore at the office of Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll. And Madam Mayor, after that 10-minute introduction and wasting your time here, let's get started again. Going right to it, the situation of retail marijuana, maybe medical marijuana in Salem. What's going on? Because this has been an ongoing process, and I haven't seen anything written in stone yet pretty much in any community.
Yeah. So we've had medical marijuana in Salem now for a few years. When the voters passed the question to adopt the use of medical marijuana, Salem actually had the first retail location in the Commonwealth, and that has proven to be operating smoothly and allowed folks who have a medical prescription to obtain medical marijuana. The last election cycle, we know voters across the state adopted a new law that would enable recreational sales of marijuana as well as the production of that. So there's also cultivation, growing, and processing of that product that's enabled by that state statute. Over the last several months, the state has been working on regulations in terms of how that would be used and allowed in Massachusetts, and they are set to start July 1st, according to the state law. So July 1, license applications will be available, and the Commonwealth will be moving into that arena. As a city, we wanted to be better prepared to address this issue within our community, and so we've adopted zoning regulations or proposed zoning regulations that would look at where are the locations where you'd want to have or want to enable retail sales of this product, where would you manufacturing go, where would your cultivation go, because it's a new industry, and wanted to give some thought to those locations. And the City Council on Thursday, after quite a long hearing, that came after a planning board recommendation and committee reviews, identified specific business zones where these uses would be allowed.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it sort of follows the model of where and how liquor stores are zoned and where they are put in and so on?
Yeah, it's very similar to that. That was our goal in presenting these zoning regulations. I will say that every single local use would require a Board of Appeals special permit, so there is a little bit additional hurdle that you don't see with alcohol sales. I think part of that is because it's new, and part of that is because so many other communities are putting up roadblocks or prohibitions or moratoriums, and we wanted to make sure that we weren't overrun with these sorts of facilities, given that some of our neighboring communities have opted to put in place moratoriums.
And speaking of overrun, how many retail shops for recreational marijuana would be allowed?
So the state does allow a city or town to put a cap on the number. It's up to 20% of your current liquor license holdings. So for us, that's 4.2. We're rounding down to 4. It also enables medical marijuana facilities to automatically qualify for a recreational sale. So since we have one medical facility, that really means we're talking about 3 licenses throughout the city.
What's the next step?
The next step for us will be second passage through the City Council, which I expect that will happen later this month, and we'll have rules in place. Applicants, we know there are interested parties, you know, in this industry within Massachusetts, within the city, that are looking at sites. They'll have a better roadmap as to where those sites can locate, and starting July 1, they can start to apply for permits.
And finally, with the present configuration, what is the objection, if any, left over?
You know, I think there's some concern by some folks that this could create negative impacts in neighborhoods. It's a new industry here, and certainly people bring their own personal feelings about the use of marijuana. And I think we had a lengthy discussion about buffers and children and universities and even funeral homes. And we ended up putting in place some buffers because that was the only way the council would adopt this with a sufficient number of votes. But I'm hoping that we'll be able to manage, this new industry. We're not the first one in the United States to do this. There's lots of good examples in other places. And we'll be mindful of what's worked and try and do our best to make sure this is a smooth transition to a new industry within our community.
21st century. Let's switch over now to the other hot topic that has been in the Salem news frequently, and that's the Bowditch School. Can you give me a little background as to what's going on there and where that stands at the moment?
Sure. We actually have a public hearing tonight, February 12th, at school committee chambers to review in greater detail the superintendent's proposal to, in essence, dissolve the Bowditch School, currently a K-8 school in Salem, and have students in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grades move to the Collins Middle School, and in the K-5 grades to be dispersed to other schools within our community, other elementary schools. I think this is coming after several years of us trying to work through some of the challenges at the Bowditch School. It was formerly a two-way school and hasn't been two-way, meaning English teaching every course in English and Spanish for quite some time. And there's been concerns, I would say, by the school committee and the school community about their performance, just not being as robust as what we're seeing in other schools. Last year's MCAS results came out, and I think the gap widened further, which caused the superintendent to think we needed a deeper level of intervention to try and address some of the concerns. I'll also say the school has a very high population of Latino students, a very high population of economically disadvantaged students, and doesn't reflect our community profile. It's very much a concentrated school of students who we know can achieve well because we have economically disadvantaged and Latino students across our district who are performing well. Students who have been transferred out of Bowditch or have left are performing well in their schools. And I think the concern is that despite best efforts, lots of resources, expanded time, expanded opportunities, additional teacher training, we're just not seeing the level of success that everyone was hoping for. And we were concerned about those students being there without having, the opportunity to succeed like students in other schools do.
If this is going to happen, it seems you have to get an education program out to parents on everywhere across your town, across the city. So what would the timeline be? Is there a projected timeline?
Yeah, we're hoping we'll have a public hearing tonight. We do want to hear from people. We want there to be a lot of due diligence. The superintendent is very thoughtful, I think, and has a lot of technical knowledge, particularly around students, English language learner students. That's was her pedagogy when she was an educator. So we want to make sure this is a good, solid plan. If the school committee supports it, that vote would take place later this month, the last Monday in February. And if that's the case, we'd then be proceeding between now and the end of the school year to ensure parents have information in terms of making choices for other schools. We've got counselors and coaches set up to sort of meet with all of the parents and review what those options might be. Logistics, bus, siblings, all of that come into play when you're talking about students. We also, if the building is dissolved, there's the Horace Mann Lab School would be moving into that space. So there's another transition point there for those families and students as well. A little less of an impact in terms of their schools not closing but moving, but still certainly a parents and a community to interact with and make sure we're paying attention to what their needs are as well. So a few moving parts, but we'll know by the end of this month if this is going to move forward.
And optimally, would that go for the next school year?
Correct. So this would be starting in September, not anything that's happening right away. But in September, the upper grades, the 6th, 7th, and 8th students or rising 5th graders would be moving to the Collins Middle School, which is we're seeing a great deal of success in terms of student gains and progress there. And then the K-5 population, so at that point, a smaller subset would have options to go to other schools, including staying and being part of what will now be the Horace Mann community there, if this is voted on by the school committee.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Yep.
That is Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll. This is MSONewsSports.com.